Now, Isaiah 43, this is a prophecy by the prophet Isaiah. And he's talking, it's a prophecy, so he's talking about the future. Okay, if you didn't know that. He's speaking to the people of Judah. Israel as a whole, but mainly Judah also, mainly Judah. Let me explain this. So, as far as the kings of Israel go, you had King Saul. People wanted a king. God says, no, you know, I don't think you really want a king. People said, no, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. God says, okay, I'll give you what you want. God gave them King Saul. Then they got David, man after God's own heart. King Saul, King David. King David's son Solomon was the next king. Solomon, after him, had this Rehoboam was Solomon's son, and he was the next king. This guy was a real piece of work, man. So what had happened is in Rehoboam's rule over Israel, the nation split into two. You had the 10 northern tribes, which was Israel, kept the name Israel. And then in the south, you had Judah, which is where Jerusalem was, and the capital. So we had this two-nation system for quite a while, and they fought back and forth against each other. Both nations got into hardcore spiritual adultery. So Isaiah is talking about the effects of that in Isaiah 43. So he's prophesying. Now, Israel, the northern part, the 10 northern tribes, they didn't repent of their unfaithfulness, even though God pleaded with them over and over again. So God allowed the Assyrians to come in and take them captive. Well, now, Judah, God uses Isaiah to speak to Judah and say, hey, don't get the big head, man. Don't think that you're in the clear, because you are so unfaithful as well and unrepentant. So you are going to be handed over to the Babylonians. So that's what he's talking about. And we're just going over the first two verses today. But that's the main message. But he's not only talking about the fact that, hey, you guys are going to go into slavery, into bondage to the Babylonians, because you love idol worship so much. You love false gods so much. You're going to be moving downtown to Idol Central, bro. You know? And you know, you if you want it, there you go. You got it. So, but he's also talking about not just them going into slavery or bondage. They're already in spiritual bondage. But they are going to go into physical bondage to the Babylonians, right? But in this same prophecy, he also talks about their redemption. Are they being set free from this bondage that is yet to come? Does that make sense? So we're just going to do these two verses right here, but let's read them real fast. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flames shall not consume you. Father God, we just love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing this morning, Lord. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke, Lord Jesus. Thank you that your will be done in this service, that what needs to be said will be said, and that we will receive it and we will walk in it. Thank you for your blessings and your protection. Let us open our ears and loose my tongue, Lord. Help me to speak right. Open our ears and our hearts and let us receive the message and let us walk in it. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Everybody in the church building said, thank you, Jesus. Happy New Year, everybody. God is good. God is good, church people. So, Isaiah 43, we'll go to the next slide. Isaiah 43 and verse 1, we're just going to dissect these two little verses right here. And my plan when I was studying is I wanted to get into some other stuff, but I couldn't get past these first verses, man. You know, it was just, I was just, not that I was stuck, but it was like planted. You know, God was like, no. Let's start here. Calm down, little buddy. Soak it up. We're going to feed the people. But look, Isaiah 43, verse 1, it says, but now, thus says the Lord, or but now, this is what the Lord says. Now, right here, man, look, guys, you know this by now, but that doesn't mean we always listen. But when God speaks, see right here, but now thus says the Lord. When God speaks, we are to listen. Amen. We would save ourselves from so much trouble. I mean, think about it. We would save ourselves from so much unnecessary. I wish the young people could hear this today, actually, you know, but there's still hope for us, you know, but we could save ourselves from so much unnecessary trouble and torment if we would just listen to the voice of the Lord. You know, I'm telling you, we need to get into the scripture and allow the Lord to speak to us through the scripture. And he's not always talking about your neighbor. He's not always talking about those, the people in your life, but a lot of time he's trying to talk to you. Amen. And that's me kind of trying to be silly. He's talking to you about you. Amen. Anyways, moving forward, look at Romans 3 and verse 4. We got that. Romans 3 and verse 4. Now, I went with the NLT, the New Living Translation, just to make it a little easier for us to understand. But when God talks, that's what matters. You know, it doesn't matter what the newsman says. It doesn't matter, you know, what the talking heads on the TV say. It doesn't matter what your situation and circumstances look like. It doesn't matter what your own crooked heart tries to tell you to do sometimes. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Your heart can be very deceitful. Amen. Romans 3 and verse 4. Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. God is true. God is true, and everybody else can be a liar. So when God is talking, we need to listen, but not just listen. We need to apply it to our lives. And that's what's going on here in the text, this prophecy. Isaiah is saying, this isn't me. This isn't me giving you some advice. I'm not just passing you down some information that grandpa told me, and I want my countrymen to know about it because it seems the word good. No, this is God talking. And God is saying, look, when I'm talking, you need to listen to what I'm saying, okay? So, of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. God's not a man that he can lie. God's saying, look, I'm not like you, okay? I love you, and you are created in my image, but there are some key differences. And this is one of them. I don't lie. I don't lie. If not to hurt your feelings, I'm not going to lie. Not to keep myself out of trouble because I ain't worried about it. I'm not going to lie. It's not in his capability to lie. He cannot do that. When Satan talks, that is his native tongue. That's his language. All he does is lie. But God says, I don't lie. You can listen to me. Matter of fact, you are my child. You need to listen to me. Amen. Tell the truth, shame the devil. So God's word is the standard, okay? So if it doesn't line up with what God says, how do you know what God says? It's in the word. It's in the Bible. You know what I mean? So what God's word is what matters. Amen. So continuing, Isaiah 43 and verse 1, but now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. What's going on? This is God declaring his ownership. First and foremost, he said, I'm talking. You would be wise to listen, right? And I just want to go ahead and claim ownership or let you understand something that I created you, Jacob. I created you, Israel. Now, these are two different people, but they're also the same person. There was this guy named Jacob, and he was one of the patriarchs of the Jewish people. But before I get into that, there was this guy named Jacob, and he was a piece of work too, man. This guy was a deceiver. So Jacob has a wrestling match with God. He gets in a, have you ever had one of those? You have, I promise you, you've wrestled with God. Well, How do you wrestle with God? This is a Christophany. This is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ. And Jacob is wrestling with Jesus Christ. But when he leaves that wrestling match, he walks differently. He's a different man after that. Not a perfect man. Read about him. He still does some crazy stuff. But he's a different person. God changed him from Jacob to Israel. And it said that he wrestled with God and won. What? How do you wrestle with God and win? By tapping out. You know, I mean, that's how you win the wrestling with God, is you raise the white flag. You know what I mean? You win the wrestling match with God by saying, you know what, you're right, you win. You win by letting him win. Does that make sense? It's giving in to him. But that's what we're supposed to do. Amen. So there was this cat named Jacob. Jacob became Israel. And then we have this verse. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel. But he's talking about not just this individual that whose life he has changed, but more importantly, in this text, he's talking about the nation. I created, God saying, I created you, Israel. I created this nation. Right? Okay. What's that got to do with the price of tea in China? Because not only did he create the man, Jacob, not only did he change him to Israel, and he had a different walk because he had a true relationship. Amen. And not only did he create the nation, but he created us. That's what I want to talk about. Okay. Enjoy some of this delicious spring water from Dollar General. They got the good stuff down there. Clover Valley. Sounds like a pleasant place. You know what I mean? Clover Valley. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, he who formed you, O Ashley, he who formed you, O sister Claudia, he who formed you, Paul. He's claiming ownership. He's saying, you didn't exist, Israel, until I grabbed Abraham, and Abraham and Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob. Jacob became Israel, and through Israel, we get the 12 tribes, we get the nation of Israel. He says, you didn't exist, Paul. You weren't a thing, but I created you. He's saying, remember that, because I'm about to give you some information, Judah, and I want you to remember something. You have been very unfaithful. Listen to this. He who formed you, O Israel. Look what David said. Do we have that Psalm 139? Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. What's he talking about? He's talking about it wasn't just mom and daddy coming into union. But this is something that God was in charge of. God was in charge, and that God knitted him together. God formed him, not just David, not just Jacob, but us. He picked you out. As strange as that sounds, you know, because science or not real science, but goofy science, we'll just try and say that everything just happened. So everything's just a weird, crazy mistake. And you're just part of it. You're not very important. You're just part of this big, crazy thing that kind of happened. That's a big lie, man. That is a huge lie. And God said, no. I formed you. I created you. Look, I formed you, for you formed my inward parts. So not just the material part of us, not the part that this part right here, but the immaterial part of us, the real part of us, and not just the heart, the lungs, the sinew, whatever that is, you know, but the inward person. He said, I formed that, man. I created you. Amen. Like I said, he's claiming ownership. He's saying, dude, stop living like you're the master of your own destiny, Judah. Stop living like you're the master of your own destiny, Paul. because you're really messing stuff up. Can I get a witness? But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Remember, it's a prophecy about things that sounds redundant. This stuff ain't happened yet when he's prophesied. But he's saying, you're going to go into captivity, but fear not, because that's not the end of this thing. You've already crossed that line, and you're going there because you didn't want to listen. Amen. Can I get a witness? And so that ball's in motion. But because when God speaks, we listen. And when God speaks, he's not lying. He cannot lie. So when he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Can I get a witness? So, but he's saying, fear not, because that's not the end. That's not the end of Israel. That's not the end of your story, Paul. That's not the end of your story, Josh. Amen. Can I get a witness? He says, fear not. Why? For I have redeemed you. I have redeemed you. So now he's talking. He's saying, yeah, you're going to go into slavery, but that's not the end, dude. I have redeemed you. Like, it's already happened. I have redeemed you. Now, this implies a payment. I have redeemed you. That speaks of a payment of some sort. Amen. It wasn't a free thing for you to be redeemed. It was free for us, but it was the free gift of God. Can I get a witness? So look at 1 Corinthians 6:19. Right? Yeah. All right. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? So, yeah, you're going into slavery, but not forever. I will rescue you from your captivity. I have redeemed you. Just as it's a done deal that you're going into slavery, but it's also a done deal that that is not the end for you. And you have been redeemed. You have bought. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, talking about us. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you know if there was still a temple standing in Israel today, that it would be a majestic and a crazy tourist thing, and it'd be awesome and amazing to see? But God would not dwell there. What are you talking about, man? I'm talking about this is where God dwells on earth. Or do you not know that your body, that what God has made and formed, he's everywhere. God's everywhere. I'm not saying he's not everywhere. But I'm saying when you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, he dwells inside of you now. Isn't that cool? Isn't that crazy? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? Listen to this part. This is it. You are not your own. The proof is in the pudding, whatever that means. But that's like the throwing the baby out with the bathwater thing. Like, yeesh, every time I hear that, I was like, no, don't do that. Be more attentive when you're bathing the baby. You know, is that something that's a possibility? You know, how dirty is that water? Why is the baby under the water? You know what I'm saying? Who do I need to call? What's going on? No, okay. So anyways, moving forward. What are we talking about? For I've redeemed you. Or do you not know? Paul is bringing this to your remembrance. Hey, Corinthians, start living like a Christian. Or do you not know that your body? Hey, Paul. Hey, McFly, start living like a Christian. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. That's what we want to focus on. We are not our own. For you were bought with a price. We're talking about being redeemed. It's free to us, but it wasn't free. For you were bought with a price. In response to that you have been redeemed and that you are bought and you don't belong to yourself. This is it. And it's not a request. So glorify God in your body. Or glorify God with your person, you know? Serve God Be obedient to God. Go deeper in your relationship with God. Amen? And if we don't have that desire, we need to pray and cultivate that desire. Amen? Okay, let's go to slide 3. Oh my gosh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. But it's not me, and you know it's not me. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Don't be afraid, man. Fear not. Well, you just said I'm going into slavery. Oh, fear not, for I have redeemed you. It's not the end. For I have redeemed you. Now look at this. I have called you by name. You are mine. What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statement. I have called you by name. I mean, what we've been talking about is God taking ownership of us. Or he's not taking, he's just letting you know, reminding you. It's not a mystery to him. It's not something he just figured out, you know? But he's reminding us, hey, look, you're not your own, all right? I called you by name. The fact that you exist is not, it's not some weird thing that happened. It's not some mistake. But I handpicked you. I formed you and knitted you together in your mother's womb. You are precious and important to my plan. He said, I've called you by name. Caleb, I called you by name. No, actually, my mom and dad went to this church. I'm pretending to be you. I'm not saying you would do that. It's like, no, God uses that stuff. But God calls us by name. And to me, that's just mind-blowing. And I know over the years, I've said the thing about I was the last person picked and yada, yada, yada. So it's just important to me and beautiful to me to know that God picked me. And that's true. That is so true. But that's for all of us, man. You know, he handpicked us to be created, to exist, you know. So Skip can walk around like the winner that he is. Amen. That Josh can walk around, Mike can walk around like the winner he is through Christ. You know what I mean? Because I was called by name to exist, and he has redeemed me. And he has redeemed me. In other words, he has called me by name. He handpicked me to exist, right? And he handpicked me to be saved out of that slavery, out of that bondage. You know what I mean? Because all have fallen short, all have broken God's law. Amen? But he handpicked me to be redeemed. Well, don't I have a part in that? Yeah, actually, you do have a part in that. See, this is what happened. Oh, God, Jesus knocks on the door because he called you by name. And you know what your part is? To open the door. You know what I mean? Was it possible for you to not answer that door? I'll say this. If someone's praying for you, it is impossible for you to not answer that door eventually. I'll say that much. Give the Lord some praise. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Coming to you out of the mighty NLT again. And I use the NLT sometimes it's an easier translation. None of the meat and potatoes is getting lost. I wouldn't do that to you, okay? Ephesians 1, you had me at meat and potatoes, Paul. Yeah. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. Even before he made the, listen to this. Even before he made the world, before nothing existed, even before he made the world, God loved us. And chose us. He chose you by name. He loved you before you existed. How is that possible? I don't know, man. I don't know. Because we're so limited in our ability of understanding things. But before we were, he knew we were. And he says, I love Mike Rott so much. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And chose us, or the Amplified says, he selected us for himself. So God, you know, when he's doing the thing, the planning thing, whatever that looks like, he's like, it's not going to work without Joan. It's not going to work without Nancy. Like, it's not going to work without Kimmy. Can I get a witness? Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ, right? Because without Christ, there is no relationship with God. You know what I mean? Loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. How does that work? Because his love covers over my sins, man. You know what I mean? It's that whole beautiful mystery that when Jesus Christ was on that cross, you know, my sin was placed on him and his righteousness given to me. That's what he's talking about. I've redeemed. God is saying, look, I have redeemed you. I didn't just create you, but I knew you were going to drop the ball, and I redeemed you. I redeemed you. And then I want you to understand something, Paul, that even though it's your free gift, oh, it cost me everything. You know what I mean? And I called you by name, and that's not to be wasted. Your time here on earth is not to be wasted, Paulie. Can I get a witness? Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So he says, I've called you by name. So as Christians, when God calls, when Jesus calls us, he does expect us to listen, you know, and act accordingly. You know, it's like John 10, 27, 28. Beautiful statement by the good Lord Jesus. John 10, 27. My sheep, because that's what we are. If you're not a Christian, you're not a sheep yet. My sheep, my people, the sheep of my flock, my sheep hear my voice. Yes, that's the cool thing about sheep. I don't know nothing about sheep except for what I learned from reading the Bible and stuff about the Bible. I don't know nothing about sheep. I've seen sheep like 3 times in my life. I've eaten sheep like 2, and I didn't really dig it. Well, you got to have mint jelly and burp, 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 burp. Whatever. I don't know. Maybe. Not today, Satan. We can go to Crystals and split one in big old, never mind. Anywho, moving forward. I'm so sorry. Moving forward. Here's the cool thing about sheep. The shepherds can get together and let their flocks, herds, whatever them things are, intermingle amongst one another. But when the shepherd says, hey, it's time to take my sheep over the hill to the valley, to the creek for water, he says, hey, sheep, or whatever, and his sheep recognize his voice. And so even though they're intermingled with all types of other people's sheep, the sheep that belong to the shepherd go off with their shepherd. That's what God says about us. My sheep know my voice, and they better act like they know my voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. That's what Jesus says about us, his sheep. And I know them, and they follow me. In this new year, let's make sure that we're following him. Amen? Because he called you by name. He called you by name. And 2025 was 2025, but now it's 2026, and God's calling us all to go deeper into our relationship. That means being more faithful to him who was faithful to us. That means to love him more who loved us first. Amen. Can I get a witness? Sorry about that. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now listen to this. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Think about that, man. I give them eternal life. Oh, man. You know, so we went to war with Venezuela or whatever. Not to be political, but, you know, so if it is the drug thing, great. You know, because I've lost a lot of friends, man, to drugs. A lot of friends to drugs. And I've done a lot of funerals over good people. Just doing, you know, whatever. You ain't perfect, you know? And I mean, I guess I don't have a problem with the little thing down there in Venezuela, but we've lost so many people, you know, to drugs. But not only that, I mean, we just lost so many people. You know, that's just part of this world that we live in. This is a temporary place. But oh, what a wonderful day it's going to be. Oh, what a wonderful day it's going to be, man. Yeah, it's been like 14 years since I've actually heard my dad's voice outside of a recording, and that's really hard for me to do, you know. But I mean, it's been 14 years since Claudia's heard her husband's voice. It's been 5 years since Caleb has heard his brother's voice. And I could go around, I could point you guys out, you know. But see, you know what? It's just temporary. That's the beautiful thing about it, man. You know, so he said, I redeemed you. That means something, church. Look, and they will never perish. Eternal life, they will never perish. And no one, nobody, nothing, no one will snatch them out of my hand. Nothing. Nothing can have them, man. You know what I mean? So there's this wonderful, amazing thing that has been done for us. And he says, I'm calling you out, man. I've called you out by name, and I'm calling you out by name right now. And saying, look, time's wasted. You are mine. He says, I've called you by name. And newsflash, just to remind you again, you're mine. You are mine. We don't like hearing that. But in this context, it's like, yeah, yes, man, you are mine. It's just this amazing thing, man, that I'm his. I belong to God. I'm his son. You are his daughter. Amen? Because we've been adopted. See, that's that adoption thing again. The adoption thing is the cool thing is like you got picked out. Yeah, I called you by name. So someone's calling me. No. Making sure. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Called you by name, man. Exodus 22 and 3. When God used Moses to give the law, Ten Commandments, Exodus 20, verse 2, I am the Lord your God. Same thing, man. I'm the Lord your God, people. But look, it says, you are mine. God's saying, you belong to me. And I am the Lord your God. He is also ours. Isn't that beautiful? You know what I mean? So I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I brought you out of the world. I brought you out of the house of slavery. Okay, that's not to be forgotten or to be trifled with. I need to look that definition up. I am the Lord your God. Sounds like truffle. What's wrong with him? I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God starting off by giving the Ten Commandments by saying, hey, remember this, you're mine and I'm yours and I'm the one that redeemed you. You were a slave in Egypt and you're not a slave anymore. Okay, I did that. You couldn't redeem yourself. I did that. Okay, and he says, out of the house of slavery. Now this is what this is what I expect. You shall have no other gods, lowercase g. You shall have no other gods before me. Okay. Oh, okay. Done. Did, dude. There are so many things that can be idols in our life. And God says, I don't want that. So here at the beginning of the year, he's calling us by name and saying, no, man, get with the program. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. But I want more of you. I want all of you, just like what we're seeing about in the worship time this morning. Amen. We say, you are mine. Me and the family went to San Antonio, Taos, to my son Paul Jr. was graduating from his I'll say basic training. I'm sure the Air Force has a different name for it. But we went to that, and I'll never forget this, that it was his graduation ceremony out on this parade field, and there was all these dudes and women that that they all looked the same, man, you know, from standing where you are. Me and Rachel were like, you're trying to find our boy, you know what I mean? And there's, you know, I don't know, a couple hundred kids down there. I don't remember, young men and women. And we were high up in these bleachers. But it was the time for us to go out there and find our son, our airman, you know what I mean? So we get released to go down there and find our loved one, and all the mom and dads and girlfriends and everybody's weaving in and out of all these people. I'll never forget it, man, because everybody looks the same. And, you know, everybody, it's not like everybody wore the same thing to work that day, you know? And you're like looking around, you know, and then boom, I heard this voice. And it was behind me. It was like, hey, Dad, turn around. I was like, I don't know you, but no, I heard that voice, but hey, Dad. And I turned around and it was my son. It's like, I said, he's mine. He's his own person, but he's mine. And he was the one I was looking for, you know? And so God says, you're the one I was looking for, you know? Nothing else will do. You know, so get with the program, right? So anyways, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Isaiah 43, let's go to slide 4, wrap things up. I hear a little Woodrow back there. A little preacher, man. He's got that in his blood. Okay. It's that crystal geyser right there. Okay. You know, when I drink that bottled water, it just feels like a geyser of crystals, just crystal geyser. If you could imagine yourself just standing under a never mind. When you pass, listen, verse 2. Verse 2, he said it, what everybody else was thinking, but now let's get back to the program. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. We're familiar with this verse. It's a new year, and there's going to be waters that we're going to have to pass through. He says, when you pass through, not if, you know that, but when you pass through these waters, I will be with you. But, okay, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. So, remember, he's talking to Judah, saying, you're going into bondage, but I've redeemed you, and you're going to be set free, okay? And when you're going through the hard time, when you're passing through the water, I'm going to be with you, okay? And that changes everything, man, okay? He's not saying because you're going into bondage and into slavery, I'm not going to be there for you. I'm going to be there for you, right? Every step of the way. Nothing's prying you away from me. I love you. Okay? But when you pass through the waters, maybe this is a reference that they would grab and understand that because they're about to go into captivity into Babylon, but that wasn't the first time they were in captivity, right? They were in captivity in Egypt, but God set them free. And one of the first things God did when they were set free is they had to cross over the Red Sea, right? So he's saying, yeah, remember that. Remember that. You didn't stay slaves forever. You know what I mean? But you had to cross over that Red Sea. You had to get through that, and you did get through that because God was with you, and he parted the Red Sea. So just like as we go into this new year, and whatever we face, it might look scary because when you're the Israelites standing up against the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is behind you and they want their slaves back or kill you, right? And all you got is just the sea in front of you. But you're not going alone. And God parted that. So as we go into this year, We're going to have to cross some waters, metaphorically. I don't know. You might have to cross some waters. Some of us traverse over bridges. But look. That's stupid. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, right? And the blessing is on the other side. Well, what's the blessing? They went into the wilderness. The Egyptians that were their slave masters for 400 years got destroyed, right? So look, the blessing is on the other side. And a lot of times we don't want to get into the water. But God says, no, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. You want to get through the other side because that's what the blessing is. So God is calling us all to go deeper in our relationship, you know? And he says, hey, when you advance in me, you're going to be blessed. In every single area of your life, you're going to be blessed. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying everything's going to go your way. But when God talks about, us being a success, I'll say that. When God talks about us being prosperous or successful, it's a little different than how we perceive it, you know? It's like to be prosperous in God's eyes is to be obedient to him, to be that vessel, that much-loved son that he can use the way he wants to use. Amen? Can I get a witness? Okay. So when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And just like the Red Sea. Hey, guys, you remember that the other generation had to have their own Red Sea experience, so they had to cross the Jordan. But the Jordan didn't sweep over them. God was with them, and they were able to enter that promised land. Now, that wasn't the end of all their fighting, but they were in their land now. They were in the land of promise, and they still had a lot of combat, but it's through going through the rivers where God trains us and molds us, right, and gets us ready for what he has for us on the other side. So he's saying, church people, as you go through this, you're not going to go through it alone, and that's where the blessing is on the other side. So step into the water. Go a little bit deeper. Amen? When you pass through the waters, through the rivers, fire and flames, that's in there too. Fire and flames. Well, that reminds me of the three Hebrew children. Don't it remind you of the three Hebrew children? Now, keep in mind that this would not remind these people of the three Hebrew children, because this is before the three Hebrew children. Okay. Three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were captives in Babylon. That hasn't happened yet. But we have the privilege of looking back. And so when it says, when you walk through the fire, the flames aren't going to set you ablaze. When it gets really, really crazy, don't stress out, man. Remember, fear not, for I am with you. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. Child, you are mine. Amen? Can I get a witness? So three Hebrew children, real fast. Maybe we can learn a little something from them in closing. So long story short, that's that crystal geyser. Long story short, someone's going to get me like a case of crystal geyser. So be waiting. Anyways. So King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, big daddy, big boss man, ruling over the Jews. And he's got them. He's got some handpicked ones over there serving him in Babylon. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Nebuchadnezzar gets this wild idea. I'm going to make a statue, and everybody's got to worship it. Well, that's a problem, because we just read in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So these three Hebrew children are like, we're not worshiping that. So there's this big to-do, this big show. All these people are gathered together. Nebuchadnezzar's got the band playing, and he says, when you hear the music, everybody bow down and worship my statue. Everybody bows down, except for three dudes, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So some of the other guys say, hey, you know them Jews? They're not doing what you said. Nebuchadnezzar really liked those guys. It's like, hey, fellas, we're going to do this whole thing one more time, because I guess you dudes didn't hear. And I like you boys. We're going to do the thing. When you hear the music, you need to bow down to my statue and worship it. And they're like, nah, you don't waste your time, because we're not going to do that. You know, we appreciate you, but there's only one God that we worship. It doesn't matter. And they're like, and that God, I expect him to save us. But if he chooses not to save us, But that's okay too, King. But we're not, because to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. So I'm not sweating it. But all due respect, don't waste your time. We're not going to do it. King gets furious, man. Furious. Face changes all of a sudden. He don't like them boys no more. Has them thrown into the fiery furnace. Has it so hot that the people throwing them in there, they die. This is what he says. Look, let's say, so King Nebuchadnezzar, looking into the fiery furnace, he answered and said, but I see four men. Remember that Christophany we talked about earlier? You know, here's another appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He answered and said, but I see four men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire. So when we are in a fiery situation in this coming year, in this new year, you're not going to be alone. So don't try and do it on your own. Remember, I've redeemed you. I've called you by name, child. You are mine. Amen. Unbound. Okay. But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire. So when they were thrown in there, they were tied up. But the fire did do something. It did do something. All that bound them got destroyed. It's that training ground for us, right? So we can get to that place where God wants us to be. And a lot of times we're not going to learn the lesson until the heat gets turned on a little bit. Speaking of, it's hot in here. In the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. Now listen to this. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. Son of the gods? What's he talking about? This dude's a pagan. Nebuchadnezzar's a pagan. So he doesn't understand what he's seeing, but he says this is some sort of divine something, because that guy looks like an angel. Looks like something. He looks like the son of the gods. But we know it was the son of God. Daniel 3:30. Look what happens to these guys when they come out of the fire. Because this is you, Victory Life Church. Daniel 3:30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They didn't lose their job. They didn't lose their lives. They got a pay raise. They got advanced. And not only that, the king puts out this decree. Anybody talking bad about the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, better not let me hear about it, because you are going to be torn apart limb from limb. It's like, no, king, you don't have to do that. Just, it's like, no, Shadrach, don't say another word. No, I'm doing this for you boys. You hear anybody talking bad about the Lord God Jehovah, they're going to be torn from limb to limb. And not only that, their houses will be turned to rubble. It's just awesome, ain't it, man? We want to be God's servant, man. We want to serve the Most High God. He's called us to that. Father God, thank you that we want to be obedient to you, that we want to go deeper, that we want the blessings and provision that you have for us. We want to do what you've called us to do. Father God, thank you for your peace and your blessings and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. 6:30 tonight, Bible discussion.